A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, beginning at verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it, and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. The Lord is a great God. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and there is a conscious shift here in the church year, calling us to reflect and ponder on our faith, our relationship with God, and in this year of Mark's recording about the temptation of Jesus, we are invited to not only think about putting God and our relationship with him above all else, but we are given an opportunity to ponder on the big idea of evil in the wilderness of anywhere, in the wilderness of our lives, in the wilderness of a desert, anywhere. Let's set the scene, and we will reflect on the first reading here, and that account is the climax of the story of the creation of the world and the demise of a humanity caught in the grips of the powers of evil that leads in the end to its destruction and renewal of God's relationship with humanity and the earth. The covenant with Noah is everlasting and is afforded to all humanity and every creature. The rainbow says it all, and we use it today, don't we, a sign of hope. The mythological essence of a flood story that runs along numerous flood stories available and told of that time, it is superseded in this story of the flood by a one and only one God, all power, all knowing, all loving, and a God who blesses Noah and his sons to go out and be fruitful. The new and redeemed creation is beginning. And here we can get an idea of how God intends his love and grace to extend to all nations, to all people. But as we know, there is a long way to go until that intent is manifested and rooted on the ground in the physical presence of God on earth through Jesus, whose body and blood becomes the new covenant, and the amazing grace bringer offers us the first fruit of creation, which is love, love on the ground, love as God loves in the person of Jesus. By the time we begin to hear about the temptation of Jesus in our reading, he's been baptized by John in the Jordan, and God has declared him to be his son, his beloved, known and called by name. And in that moment, the Spirit is within Jesus, fulfilling the hopes of prophets like Isaiah, who had been prophesying and proclaiming for years. The 40 days of the Red Sea of freedom, the 40 years of the Israelites in the wilderness to make their way to the Promised Land, they're all now anchored in the 40 days Jesus would spend in this wilderness time being tempted by the world in order that he could show everyone the way to the kingdom as he overcomes. And as Peter explains, the water of baptism symbolizes being born anew, not only washing away the sin of the world that we have become unclean by in our hearts, but this water is cleansing and life-giving and a renewal of mind, body and spirit, a living hope for everyone, even those living in the dark, that a light is being shone upon the pathway that leads into the kingdom of love, fulfillment and peace. Remembering that all that Jesus does is out of love for us all who are living in the dark in one way or another. We witness Jesus intentionally disrupting his life as he enters into this wilderness for 40 days. He's stripped back from everything and he's left in the stillness to contemplate and be still in the presence of his Father. Perhaps he's showing us that sometimes the disruption of our own lives, whether illnesses, job losses, pandemic, while it's awful and tragic and all those things, it can also be an opportunity to be disrupted positively so that we can realign our priorities and make space for things that are truly meaningful and important to us that perhaps we might never have known they were. And we could also make space for our relationship with God in that stillness. What Mark tells us is also reminding us that Jesus is in there with the wild beasts, being tempted by Satan, by the devil, but the angels are waiting on him. They are waiting on him. Again, we too can think about whether we have had to wait in the wilderness, whether you've had to endure your own 40 days experience. What were the adversaries that were sitting on your shoulder, on mine, tempting us away from watching and waiting in faith and trust? I don't know what wilderness might look like for you, but a general idea might be when we're in a space where God seems remote, we don't feel connected, our resistance is low, and comfort beckons through acting out an earthly desire to whet the appetite, to puff up the ego, or to just make us become more self-satisfied. And I wonder if that's what we might think of as the atmosphere of evil in the world. That energy that lures us away from the right loving thinking that we innately know and need to live a life of peace and harmony. We're daily confronted with stories of evil things happening. It seems no amount of technology or intelligence can prevent these. Evil seems to be the flaw in our choice making, our moral compass, the way the good things in the world can be used for bad. You can use electricity for amazing machinery to help us when we physically need, but it also can be used as a fatal weapon in conflict. And all those things are driven largely by the way we are and our conscience and our consciousness, that is our relationship with God's goodness and how much it flows through us. We are misled. Here's the cycle. We get so used to living in that askew moral compass that our outward look becomes infected with evil intent. Our judgments and our motivations can become self-seeking or in some cases dishonest in order for personal or wider gain on a small scale or a massive global scale. And as the insecurity sets in, it causes a living out that doesn't suit us, but one we've got so far in that we can't pull out and change. It becomes embedded. This wrong way of looking at the world, this self-centered way. It's then that we, humanity, truly lose our way and get lost in the wilderness of the world, of the darkness. And we fall short of being that kind of person our faiths call us to be. The temptation of evil has been succumbed to. We have fallen into the lure. The personal devil has become the impersonal evil. You take the D off. No pinpointing the origins or causes, but just over time, an infiltration of evil energy is running alongside the loving energy of God's created order. And what's more, the two become muddled and mingled in the worldview as it proclaims God as being the bearer of evil in the world, as well as the good. A God who is human in the picking and choosing of who is in and who is out, who lives, who dies, who suffers, who doesn't, who's rich, who's poor, and so it goes on. And that worldview, sadly, tragically, leaves us with nowhere to go in times of need when we need to turn somewhere for comfort and strength and hope. We can't turn to God because this God is a punishing, merciless God, judging. There's nothing there for us, we might hear some people say. No room for the comfort and strength of a loving God that we know so well, and we know to be the anchor of life, even in the darkest trying times. What an uphill battle we have. But a hope there is. It's in this wilderness Lenten journey that Jesus is waging a battle for us, walking the path for us. And it's at this Jerusalem and on the cross in weeks to come that that evil of the world is hung, laid down, and we are shown a new way to live without having to include evil into the mix. But then, my friends, the choice becomes ours. Do we follow or do we not? Do we believe or do we not? Do we go it alone or do we follow the way of Jesus with him and with others on the way alongside us? So what can we do? It seems a bit gloomy. How can we resist temptation, turn things around, find sustenance in the wilderness times that life no doubt will bring us from time to time? How can we be trusting of such a loving God who has our back? Well, looking at the first sentence here, we are shown the way in which Jesus manages to do so. It says here, Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit and was led into the Spirit by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was guided. He was led in by the Spirit. He wasn't alone. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, was with him and in him, the comforter, not the tempter. Right to the end, when Jesus, we are told, was filled with the power of the Spirit, went to Galilee proclaiming the good news. And there we have it. That's the answer to the wilderness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit that was in Christ Jesus. That's how we resist the evil. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and using that Spirit to keep us strong and resilient so we can become rooted again in the ways that we were always called to live. Jesus with the Holy Spirit within us to guide us, to show us the way. So this Lent calls us to seek out ways of deepening that sense of living in relationship with God through Jesus, in relationship with ourselves and others. And prayer deepens that relationship with God. Fasting deepens that relationship with others. And it makes us go beyond ourselves in our almsgiving, our doing nice deeds, even a smile to cheer someone up. Jesus shows us that the wilderness can become a sanctuary, a place in which we can stop running. We can breathe in God. We can take stock fearlessly, honestly, willingly. We can realign our will to God's will once again with the Holy Spirit to hold and guide us, and with the angels of the Lord watching over us. We journey on together. Amen.